Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke, and I invite you to say that with me. Notice how the lilies grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. This has been a weekend of nostalgia, because Jan, do you remember when at First United Methodist Church, Adrian, we did the musical that song came from, Godspell? Not only did we do it, this is a little church in Adrian, Missouri, okay? We didn't sing it, we lip-synced it. I kid you not. We lip-synced it to the record. It was still a record at that point, right? And we had props. We put streamers on the end of the pencils so that we could have props. And then we toured it. We took it on the road. Churches actually invited us to come do it at their church, too. So, fond memories. But that is one of the most beautiful songs from that musical, reminding us that all gifts from God are good. Amen? Amen. Well, friends, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And God called it what? Good. God called it good. And then in the beginning, God created what else? What's that? You can talk back to me. It's okay. It's okay in church to talk back to the preacher. What else did God create? Humankind, yes. And God called it what? Good. And in the beginning, God created what else? Birds, creatures, day and night, the ocean, the waters, and the land. And God called it all what? Good. Indeed, God created everything and called it good. The psalmist, thank you, readers, that was wonderful. Thank you for reading that psalm. The psalmist that we heard says that everything that was created by God, everything, can give praise to God in every utterance, in every sound made, in every croak of a frog, in every chirp of a bird, in everything that we can proclaim, God can be praised. Now, one of the things that the psalmist tells us is that everything in creation is full of the holy, is full of God, because God created it in God's image. Everything is full of the holy. That means that there is a sermon around every corner. There's a sermon in every plant, in every tree, in every blade of grass. In every person, there's a sermon. Everything that we have, all the created order, is how we discover who God is. That water, that beautiful, bubbling water, that now for four services has made me want to go to the bathroom. That beautiful sound of that water reminds us of God's love that's always overflowing in our lives. It's always flowing over us. It's always there to refresh and cleanse us. The bread that we have at communion. Oh, we had communion this morning at the 8:15. Hawaiian bread. Oh, I love me some Hawaiian bread, right? But that's bread that sometimes you might have at home. But when we bring it here and we remember the words that Jesus said, "This is my body," that ordinary bread becomes extraordinary. Just like the ordinary water. We have to use it every day of our lives. Water, it's what we need to live. But when we bring it here in the sanctuary, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. So everything, not just the traditional symbols that we use in our sanctuary, but everything can speak of God. That Luke scripture that we read together, look at the lilies. They are more splendid than the most famous king's garments, it says. Solomon in all his splendor was not as beautiful as these little lilies. It means that despite our trying and trying and trying and trying to be the height of what the world deems beautiful, in spite of trying to make ourselves what everybody else thinks is beautiful, in spite of our judging ourselves in terms of whether or not we possess beauty, God says, you are beautiful just the way you are. The lilies, they don't need to do anything extra special. They just are beautiful, says the scripture. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you don't have to do a darn thing. You are beautiful just the way you are. Or some version of that. Go ahead, I'm not kidding. Tell each other. In fact, I think that our preoccupation with trying to be perfect, which is impossible, you know. Let me just release you from that expectation that you will ever be perfect. Our obsession with perfection. I mean, even when we go to the grocery store, we try to pick out fruits and vegetables that don't have any bruises at all. God says, everybody's got bruises, and you are still lovable. Our obsession with perfection keeps us from noticing the small things all around us in life that are just incredibly beautiful. We are surrounded by beauty. And that includes us, because in the beginning, God created humankind and called it. So my favorite 13th century theologian, Meister Eckhart, actually I don't know many 13th century theologians, but if I did, I'm sure Meister Eckhart would be my favorite because he had great one-liners. And here's a one-liner from Meister Eckhart. Every creature is a word of God and is a book about God. Every creature is a word of God and is a book about God. Now, that would mean, if we took that seriously, that would mean that this is a word of God. And your response would be, thanks be to God. And this is a word of God. This is a word of God. This and this and this is a word of God. Thanks be to God. So look to your right. Look to your left. Everybody you just took in, a sermon is around every corner. And everybody and everything can say something about the nature of God, about who God is. Because we are made in the image of God and are constantly trying to do our best to represent God in a very good way. So, think of your favorite animal, just like the kids did. I don't know what that cartoon thing was, that I have no idea. But but think of your favorite animal. Have you got one? What's yours? A horse. What about a horse can teach us something about God, about God's nature? I grew up with horses too. I agree with you. They're just present, aren't they? They're just like solid. And they can give us a lift. Ha ha, there's one. They can give us a lift, right? So everything, your favorite animal can teach you, can say something about the nature of God. In the beginning, God created all of it, called it good, and said, be words of God to each other. My first career was in professional dance and musical theater based in New York City for many years. And one of the famous choreographers that was there when I was there was Martha Graham. She was nearing the end of her career and her life, but she always had great things to say. She was a pioneer in dance in America. She did it her own way. She was unique. She said this: there is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of the world, that expression, that gift is unique. And if you block it, the world will never have it, because it'll be gone with you. She said, it's not your job to determine how good your gift is or how it compares with anybody else's gift. It's only your job to give it to the world. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us can be a word of God and a book about God, bringing messages of love and hope and reconciliation and what it means to be a neighbor, what it means to be a friend. We each have a gift, a unique gift, and a way to say that. You know, I lived for 11 years in the mountains near Lake Tahoe. One of my favorite things to do as a spiritual practice is skiing. I wrote a book called Spiritual Adventures in the Snow, Skiing and Snowboarding as Renewal for Your Soul. And in it, I researched many things, but one of them was about snowflakes. Oh my gosh, snowflakes are amazing. In fact, there's no two snowflakes that are alike. But on their own, they cannot survive very long, right? They melt away. When they come down one at a time, the very beginning of a snowstorm, it takes more of them to start to accumulate. But when they accumulate on top of one another, they can last for a very long time. I can attest to this because last winter we got over 700 inches of snow where I lived, and I had 6 feet of snow in my yard until May. Accumulated together, these individual beautiful snowflakes can last for a very long time. So not only do we have individual gifts, but we are a gift together as community. And when we draw that together and multiply our gifts because we come together, that will last for a very long time. Everything is a blessing, as those Irish folks like to say. Everything is a blessing. And we can be that too, both as individuals and as a community. We're surrounded by blessings. So I told you that one of the things that I was invited to do was to create a prayer, a journey of prayer here on your property. And so since today is a high heat warning until 8 o'clock at night, everything is still set up out there. And so if you can stand it, I've seen that some people from the last service went and visited these stations. But I'm going to show you some pictures so you can virtually go there in your mind. And when you get home, you can go to the website, the church's website, bluespringsumc.org. You can click on that guided prayer meditation. You can listen to an audio of me describing every one of the stations, and you can put that in your memory with the pictures you're going to see here, and you can virtually do it in the cool air conditioning of your very own home. Okay, so the first station that we did on Friday night was down at the pond and at the outdoor prayer chapel down there. So, yellow ribbons, is there a song coming to anybody's mind? Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree, right? What that song really is saying is something that's been a tradition for a very, very long time, longer than that song was alive, and that is yellow ribbons are a sign of unconditional love and hospitality. Perhaps you're waiting for someone to come back from war, from prison, or there's many different ways that yellow ribbons have been used. The Canadians used yellow ribbons at 9/11 as a sign of their help, their commitment to help America through that tough time. Lots of ways that yellow ribbons have been used. But the attributes are of hospitality and unconditional love, and that's what Jesus Christ and the cross reminds us every time we see it. So at that station, folks took a yellow ribbon and they tied it around a tree. Maybe not, I don't think they're oak, but you know, it'll do. So then we went on a prayer path. How many of you have been on the path around the back side of the pond? Anybody been back there? A few people. That's about how many people in every service. So that means a whole lot of you get to discover at some point the path that goes all the way around the pond. It's very cool, and I mean that literally. It's about 20 degrees cooler than everywhere else because it's overshadowed a path with trees all over it. So it's completely shaded. And so I put scriptures all along that path to remind people that when you're on a path in life and you're not sure where you're going or what's around the bend because it kind of curves and you can't really see where the end is, that God is always with us. Always with us. And there's a lot of scriptures that say that. So that's what folks did on that path. And then folks went to the community garden out there. And we wrote on sticks, garden sticks, something that we'd like to plant in the world. What does the world need more of? And folks wrote on that, closer to God, a respect, serenity, love, peace, living conversations. And they put that in the dirt as a sign of our willingness as a church to plant more goodness in the world. And then the fire pit. Ooh, we had a good fire, and there was s'mores involved, I promise you. But also at the fire pit, one of the things that natural wildfires do is clears out the dead brush in order to make room for new life. And so on pieces of paper there, we wrote what we'd like to get rid of. Anybody have any dead wood in their lives that you could get rid of? We wrote what we'd like to get rid of, and then we put it in the fire. And on the audio, you can listen to a beautiful song called Refining Fire about how God can can make something beautiful, clear away that which we don't need. And then we went to the columbarium and remembered our baptism, picked a blue bead out of the water. We remember our baptism related to death because what we believe as Christians is that through our baptism, we've already died and risen with Christ. And so death is not something to be feared. Death has no hold because we believe that death is just a doorway to more life with God. So people took a blue bead and took it home to remember someone that they have lost. And then we blew bubbles. And yes, if anybody wants to blow more bubbles, there's more bubbles to be had right out there by the fountain. Bubbles are a way to see our breath because it gets encased in this, you know, gooey stuff. But we can see literally our breath inside there. And so we blew bubbles and we remembered that every breath is a blessing and a gift from God. And then, oh, there's Steve Cox, expert bubble blower. And then we went to a rock station and picked a rock that had a word on it that we needed for to be reminded for our lives. And we're going to do something similar in just a moment, so I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And then I made some prayer stations where we made prayer beads. And prayer beads are an ancient practice, and every bead represents something different. And I have those actually set up in the grove in front of the church. You might have seen it as you came in. There's some stools around there. And that is completely shaded. So you might want to do that before you go home. It's very cool out there. Not very cool, but it's cooler. And actually, this was the place we had it on Friday night before I realized someone told me that that actually wasn't church property. But nobody got shot, so we were good. So it's moved over into church property. So friends, that's what we did on Friday night and yesterday. Some folks did it as well. And this morning, you're welcome to do that before you go home. There's some guides out in the front, some pieces of paper on a table out there that you can pick up and take with you.